All right, we're back with the second half of the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life. And now this is a time where Richard likes to thank our sponsors.
A big thank you, as always, to our sponsors, UBS with Michael Caronta and Drew Freitas. In fact, I'm going to be seeing those gentlemen down at the Indian Wells Tennis Tournament later next week, because they always have really good seats, and we go down and have some fun instead of just doing business. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, we got Polito Epic CPAs up in San Marcos, Don Epic and Paul Polito. Also, recent guest Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, an absolutely incredible CFO firm. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, specializing in business valuation. Also, Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Upcoming guest, Brenda Geiger with the Geiger Law Office. Brenda specializes in asset protection and estate planning. That's when she's not writing yet another book. California Republic Bank. In fact, they have a really interesting event coming up on March 24th. And Sean Puckett and Heidi Hanna will be upcoming guests as well. A very interesting bank that specializes in working with wealthy families and family offices. Neil Staley, formerly known as Mars Maddox Insurance, now Hub International, an absolutely incredible employee benefits firm. They must be staying busy with all these funny reportings that are going on for healthcare coverage. Boy, that's a very interesting topic. More on that later. The LG Experience in the Lombardi Group, helping wealth advisors become heroes to their very best clients. Also, Paul Hines. He's the CEO of Hearthstone Private Wealth Management. But Paul, of course, heads up the SeniorSafeAndSound.org initiative here in San Diego, helping to prevent elder financial abuse. We got the Very Good Food Foundation. I know Michelle Lirac has been on and is coming up again soon. And that was a really interesting show, Joe, about soils.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. Nathan Watkins, a recent guest with Worldwide Credit, an absolute expert in home mortgages. And last but not least, for those of you who want a great cup of coffee and to hear some great music,
get over to Lestat's Coffee House. They're in University Heights. They're in Normal Heights. And they're about to open on University Avenue, the third big one. And one's right near the office of IVP, by the way. So, which is a good lead-in. Oh, but Richard, you're going to ask me a question, aren't you? How do our listeners find our guests?
Go ahead, Joe. Tell our listeners how they can find our guests.
If you want to find out more about our sponsors, folks, just go over to iymoney.com. There's a sponsors tab and a drop-down menu. You can get all their information right there, their bio, their contact info. And they've all been working with Richard for many years with great success.
Many years. You can buy their books and all kinds of cool things.
Absolutely.
We've got so many authors on that list, it's beyond belief.
Absolutely. But speaking of IVP, we have the he's the co-chair for the Independent Voter Project. But before that, he was a California member of the California State Assembly in the 78th District. And then he was the lobbyist for the city of San Diego. And then he matriculated over to IVP. But his name is Jeff Marston. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So what can you tell us about your background real quickly, born and raised where and all that?
Born in Manhattan, raised in Englewood, New Jersey for the first 15 years. And then my dad retired. They were looking for a place to live well, I guess, on a fixed income. And we ended up in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's how I found San Diego. We came across the country, drove down the coast.
Mm-hmm.
My brother had just moved here the year before. And and dad basically said, you know, if the furniture wasn't already across the border, we would have stayed right here. So I came back every summer to work and hang out and what have you. Decided I wanted to go to San Diego State. And
was your brother going to school here or
no, something? He's a little bit older than I am. So he was all on his successful financial planner career and what have you.
Interesting.
And so mom and dad decided to follow me up. They thoroughly loved living there, but, you know, dad didn't speak Spanish, and, you know, mom just kind of hung out and had a great time, so they just followed me up there.
How do you speak Spanish with a New Jersey accent anyway? That's what I want to know.
That's for another show, Richard.
Yeah, you fake it. You fake it well.
Okay.
I got your tacos right here, Richard. Translate that.
Exactly.
But anyway... So did you go to high school? Did you go to college out here?
College at San Diego State, and then my last semester was an internship with S.I. Hayakawa, who had just been elected to the U.S. Senate.
Sure.
And I was literally, when I went there, I was literally one of about a dozen people on a staff that grew to 90.
He was so, here at U.S.?
This was in Washington. It was my last semester at State. I got 12 units to do this, and that was enough to graduate. And so I essentially, as an intern at age 21, became a staff person.
What was his position at the time? Was he in office or
no? He was the president of San Francisco State.
Okay,
and then was elected to the U.S. Senate in 1976.
So as a senator, you went and worked in D.C.?
I went to work for him as an intern, and then as soon as I graduated, he got me for free for like 4 months, and then once I graduated, okay, let's hire this guy.
So did you stay in D.C.?
I stayed in D.C. for 2 years, and then I ran his San Diego office, which was for most of Southern California for the last 4 years of his term. So I was with him his entire 6 years.
I forgot he was a senator from California,
yeah.
Right? Wow, how about that?
And then I worked in a PR firm. I went to City Hall and worked for Councilwoman Gloria McCall for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when she left office, that was when Lucy Calais was elected to the state Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Her assembly seat became available. And I ran for that.
What years were
19,
you?
I was there. I have one of the shortest. And you used to not talk about this because it was maybe embarrassing. Now I kind of laugh about it. I had like one of the shortest terms, legitimate terms, in the history of the legislature. Legitimate meaning somebody didn't die in office or any of that kind of stuff. But I was elected. It was four elections within 1 year, and
wow.
I had to run in a special election primary. I won the special election runoff. The same day as I was nominated for the full term,
mm-hmm.
and then Mike beat me 6 months later for the full term. So it was a short lived, but it was valuable to me. I made so many great friendships, and it led to I believe the position after I joined a PR firm with the city of San Diego. I was their day to day lobbyist in Sacramento for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and then was part of their legislative team for about 14 of the next 15
years. Under which
years.
Mayor? Were you under Mayor?
I was under Mayor Golding. Technically, I was under Golding when I was up there, but it was Golding, Murphy, and Sanders.
Okay.
For all of them. And technically, also Bob Filner, but then he fired our firm right at the beginning when he went in.
That didn't last long anyway.
Bob is a professor of mine at San Diego State. We go back a long way. I get along fine with Bob.
Of course. But
for your trivia fans, he was the guest on our show the day 2 days before the news broke.
Well, for your trivia fans, we had Mayor Sanders in here. This was his last full interview in office, by the way. So he's a fan of the show. And as is, look at Mayor Filner got rid of those traffic lights. Every time I go through a yellow line, I go, thank you, Bob. So,
got rid of those and cleaned up the burnt.
And I keep my hands on myself, but whatever. Keep my hands on the wheel.
There's so many things I just have no reaction to. I just sit there and listen to and smile and nod my head.
But, you try to see the good in people, I guess.
Yeah.
So, interesting background, Jeff. And then how did you get involved with IVP?
Well, Steve Peace, as Chad mentioned, actually founded IVP,
mm-hmm.
and came to me and said, I'd like you to be my co-chair. And I think a lot of that had to do with we have a longtime friendship. He's a Democrat. I'm a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real classic case. It's sort of emblematic of what we try to do. Steve and I have been friends for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on the other side of the aisle when I was in the assembly. And one of his political campaign type jobs as an assemblyman was to take me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I always looked at it as one of these things where those TV shows where the guys
on take you out for dinner or take you out of office?
No, take me out of office.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like they give the guy the gun, and if you're really on our team because we don't trust him, kill him.
Uh-huh.
And, well, Steve pulled the trigger, but that's the way it goes.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of thanked him for getting me out of that over the years. But the point is, so you have all these years later, we come together as Independent Voter Project working together, and our whole issue is, the voters' rights, civility, and like Chad said, we're not against the political parties.
Did you say civility with regard to the
well,
election?
Well, listen to their mission and provide voters with politically neutral, accurate, and reliable information about important public policy issues. I mean, this is refreshing. Encourage nonpartisan voters to vote, And it's all there on their website, folks, independentvoters.org. Their goals, the principles, the vision, it's all good stuff. And we need to be doing more about this. People have – you can have different views and still, be friends. People get too even inside parties. I see the Hillary Bernie people really bumping heads on Facebook. I go, folks. I mean,
Joe, I can't even be friends with myself because I'm so right leaning in terms of monetary policy and so left leaning in terms of social issues. I get into arguments with myself.
Yeah, well,
who wins?
Both of us.
You and Woody Allen.
Yeah, exactly. My therapist scores big.
But anyway, the reason I did invite these guys on the show is to discuss this 50% plus one rule. And when we come back from the break, we're going to get into how we can possibly get rid of that and get everybody into the final election. So we'll be back with Jeff Marston from IVP right after this. Hang on.
Two.
We're back in the home stretch of It's Your Money and Your Life. We're back with Jeff Marston, co-chair of Independent Voter Project, independentvoterproject.org. And what I'd like to talk about
now. Got Hawaii 5-0 on. 5-0 is 50.
Oh, good call,
Justin. God, I got it.
That's two in a row,
right,
man.
Over Joe's head.
That is two in a row. Great. But anyway, folks, I don't know how many of you know this, but for all our city elections, whether it's mayor, city council, city attorney, or anything else in that range, if you get 50% of the vote in the June primary plus one extra vote, you are considered the winner. And everybody else has to go into November in final elections, but not these guys. Is it same with the county, Jeff?
Yes, same with the county.
Mm-hmm. Whoever conceived of this in the first place, and why? Was it a cost-saving thing for smaller towns in California, or what?
I think that was part of it. It also, in San Diego, it grew out of the switch from the way the elections are currently run for the school board, where the candidates run district only, and then regardless of how many votes you get or what your percentages are, both candidates then run – the top two candidates then run citywide. Mm-hmm. Or district-wide, I should say, which is the way we used to do it in San Diego until 1989. And when we went to district elections, that's where it switched to the 50% plus one rule.
Yeah. Well, it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth when you think about a lot of voters, for better or for worse, don't even really get engaged until the summer, and a lot can happen between June and November anyway. You know, you could get some bad story comes out about a candidate who unfortunately got elected. But you're stuck with him or her. But we're trying to, you know, we're trying to build a coalition, get some public discourse on this. As a matter of fact, is that what we're going to be talking about at Lestache with your student?
Right, that's what we'll be doing there. In terms of the actual what we're trying to do, you know, as Chad mentioned, our sort of mantra at Independent Voter Project is democracy is best served when the most people participate. And mm-hmm. it's kind of, you know, what we did with the top two nonpartisan primary. So as we're looking around at, you know, helping to affect change, all of a sudden we look at it's on our own backyard. Mm-hmm. And we have a situation where if you take a look at the turnout record starting in, say, I mean, you can go back, but starting in 2010, it's for the most part at least double the turnout of voters between the primary election and the general election. And our whole thing is, you know, we would like to see people elected to office when the most people vote.
Right.
And it's significantly, the differences are significantly stark, frankly, in the African-American, Asian-American, and Latino communities.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty straightforward. Our whole thing is about voter rights.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an opportunity. And you mentioned all kinds of things. People are not engaged until the primary, until the general election, and mm-hmm. so forth. You're also by the nature of the word primary, you're intimating that there is a second phase.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you find out that if it's 50% plus one, these people they're done.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, what's the exact date of that event again at Lestat or Chad, if you have that?
March 29th.
It's a Tuesday night. It's March 29th, 6 o'clock at the one on Adams, by the way, the one by the Normal Heights sign there on Adams. And that's open to anybody, student, adult, anybody, right?
Absolutely.
And that's mostly going to be talking about this initiative and some other things.
We're talking about this initiative, and basically it's we want to educate the public. We also want to, frankly, it's sort of putting out a challenge, if you will, to those in office and those running for office, mm-hmm. that you go on and on and on about voter turnout and how do we increase voter turnout mm-hmm. and let's get people engaged. At the end of the day, this is sort of a no-brainer way. All you have to do, and it's not all you have to do, it's a charter change, so it's not easy. But you change the charter and you make it an election where top two go to November regardless.
So essentially, if we get enough of the council members behind this, and I don't know if the mayor's going to ratify or veto, that'd be interesting to see, but this can get on the probably the November ballot when you know you don't want this on the do you want this in the June ballot or the November ballot? Now you got to give that some thought as well.
Well, it'd be true to our own mantra, we should probably put it on the November ballot.
Yeah.
But for this election, it's too late for June anyway.
Yeah.
But
So that's probably good, I think. But I did see from your notes that in 2012, only two of the seven citywide races went to the general. So five city officers were elected, you know, in the primary, essentially. And that's what we're talking about here. So it's not right, as somebody else says on another TV station.
Well, it's hard to build the coalitions to really go and take on an issue like this, because almost by its nature, the first question everybody wants to ask is, oh, what side are you working for? What side's benefit? Well, the reality is this 50% plus one rule has benefited the Republicans at time. It's benefited the Democrats at time. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think this is a test for San Diego. Can we get together and say, forget it. This is just look at it as a voting rights issue and get together and just do what's right. Let's get rid of this anti-democratic rule.
It seems to benefit the incumbent, which is probably why it got there in the first place, or a lot of the reason why. I hate to speculate, but I think that makes most sense. So Richard, don't you agree that this needs to go?
I think it needs to go, because, well, I like the point about we need to keep people engaged for as long as possible in the process.
Yeah. So we're working on building a coalition of local city leaders and thought leaders, et cetera, right? And
isn't the presumption anytime somebody wants to change something in the system that you're working from one side or the other?
Yeah. Well, we're going to try and get them all involved in this. You know, if we get some buy-in from people on the left and right, if labor likes this, which I think they do, and we get some other office holders and some other people that we're talking with.
Yeah, that's what Chad said. That's the challenge. Is you know, it's kind of like well, are you with the Democrats, or this is going to hurt the Democrats or hurt the Republicans or vice versa? Mm-hmm. And I respectfully say you don't get it.
We don't
give a damn.
Yeah,
our whole thing is about the voter,
right?
And about engaging the voter. Well, and there's no other issue here. And if you're going to talk about people need to be involved, people need to be engaged, and how do you increase turnout? Mm-hmm. Well, you just take a look at the figures between the primaries and the general election, and this is me very biased saying it's a no-brainer to support.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difficulty.
So Bob Brewer's been a guest on this show.
Yes, he
former
has.
Former DA candidate. He's for this. I happen to know, you know, a lot of people on the left side of the column that are for this. And we think we might get some maybe county office holders who might endorse this.
Well, we are inviting at the event you're talking about on the 29th. We are inviting outreaching to everyone.
Oh.
Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the smaller parties, the candidates running for all the offices and community leaders. And it's basically a, hey, this is what we're doing. Come hear about it.
Oh.
And so there's nobody being left out
anywhere.
Oh,
that's way cool. I thought it was mostly just aimed at students. This is really great. I didn't know that. So good. Yeah. Outstanding. We can have coffee and get all wired and whatever.
Take
off,
yeah,
get
exactly.
out the brass knuckles.
Like we're going to need that, yeah.
But I think most thinking people would agree with this, that it makes good sense, and hopefully cooler heads and smarter heads will prevail. So, right?
We hope so, too.
Yeah.
We appreciate
and,
that.
So independentvoterproject.org. And I didn't start my watch, Justin. How much time left for this segment? Okay, we got a couple minutes till the end of the show. But any other resolutions or compelling things that are on your minds right now about either one of you that you're working on? I know you have this other resolution you were talking about, right? Is that about the primaries also? Or?
Well, yeah, this resolution would just address the presidential primary, but I think at its core, it's something we see all this dissatisfaction, and it's really, I think, derives from a national political dialogue that intentionally pits us against each other on specific issues.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned before, I think that the difficulty and the hurdle we have to overcome, not only as an organization, but as society that's disenchanted with our government, is to say, look, we're going to disagree with each other on all kinds of stuff, but we have to elect people who are willing to disagree with us on some things, but still talk to us about others.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we've established a system that doesn't encourage that.
Well, further, the media feeds into the disenchantment.
Yeah. I think we need to teach civics again. We need to teach emotional intelligence and how you can have civil discourse. A lot of people are conflict averse. People need to know how to embrace conflict
that point discussed. Joe, the whole issue, we need to teach civics again. I hear people over here saying it and people over here. And everybody seems to say that, and so what are you doing about it?
I think we should call it, instead of civics, it sounds too much like a physic. I think we should call it governance or some kind of new name,
whatever. It could be. It's kind of low-hanging
And I want you guys to become, you guys are going to become the Khan Academy of that, so we'll talk more about that, too, after the show.
The Khan
Anyway,
Academy of governance.
Thank you, Jeff Marston and Chad Peace, independentvoterproject.org, and get over there, folks, and we'll see you at Lestat's on that Monday, by the way. Richard Miso, great seeing you. Justin Hart, thanks for making a song great, our sound engineer, and thanks to Craig Blanke, our county executive, Andrew Dave Sniff, our programming genius here at KFMB. All these podcasts are commercial free on iymoney.com, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.